Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July the 30th, 186th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the city of Fortuna, manager Regan Candelaria. How you doing, guy?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am here, but I have not been hosting two major parties this month.
Oh, we have in Fortuna.
Yeah, gee, imagine that, huh? Bring it up and he pounces almost.
Nice intro. We did enjoy a busy past few weeks with the Rodeo and Auto Expo here in Fortuna.
Oh, good. Well, you brought somebody along with you today.
And I did. I brought our police chief, Bill Doberstein.
Hired gun. Yep.
Yeah.
Glad to be here. Yeah, you think so, Bill. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the past two events. We'll talk about the peel-out tournament that went on as part of, that was the unofficial.
Right. Yeah. The burnout?
Yeah, yeah. And some of the other things that Fortuna Police gets to deal with.
The burnout was a controlled event.
Oh, it was a controlled burnout. So, no. I was talking about the drags going on the boulevard. We'll be back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Doberstein and Regan Candelaria from Fortuna. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Bernard Shaw. Pretty safe so far. Sometime between 1856 and 1950 said, quote, "It's dangerous to be sincere unless you're also stupid." So, setting the tenor for this program now. Regan, why'd you bring a badge and gun here with you?
Well, nothing in particular to talk about that I'm concerned about. But you had said, to bring a guest, and Bill's got also a positive perspective on Fortuna, which I like, and he sees things from a different perspective than I do sometimes, and thought it'd be interesting to get his input on some of your questions and some of your inquiries about government.
So it has nothing to do with the fact that you guys are in the same building and you bumped into them in the parking lot on the way out here.
No, I did not need a ride. There was gas in the car.
Bill, what kind of sense do you have about some of the weird bad guy activity that's been going on in this area in the last 3 or 4 months? It's like every morning I come in and Dan out of the newsroom is saying, geez, did you know we had 11 DUIs over the weekend, or 19 last week, or god-awful numbers that I don't remember these things happening before?
Well, I think the numbers are pretty much staying the same. We're just, it's out there more. We have the Avoid campaign that we have. We're coordinating that for Humboldt County and Fortuna. And you're seeing a lot more press releases on what activities going on. We're doing a lot more saturation patrols. We're doing a lot more DUI enforcement type of stuff, checkpoints, that sort of thing. So you're hearing about it a lot more than you used to. And we're also getting funds from the state through the Office of Traffic Safety, and it's paying for overtime. So we're getting more enforcement, more patrols out there for that kind of stuff. So
you just got more presence. We got more presence. In more right. results.
Right, exactly. And part of the deal is when you get a grant like that is that you do put a press release out with the results from the activity. And so the public gets to know what we're doing. So, and the other stuff, Fortuna in particular, we've been dealing with a lot of issues with transient type stuff, panhandling, illegal camping, that sort of thing.
That's except by the river, that's relatively new, isn't it?
It is for Fortuna. It's not new for Fortuna. We've always had that element there, but it's increased over the last year or two. So we've done some things. We've done a camping ordinance, for example, and that's helped out a lot, making it illegal to camp on public or private land. And we've been contacting people panhandling around the city, and I've noticed a decrease in that type of activity in Fortuna just over the last few months.
So you got different players instead of one guy owning a corner, so to speak.
Right, exactly. We're trying to get them off the corners, actually. We're trying to get them the assistance they need and to get off the corners, and we're trying to educate the public, quite frankly, on, you know, don't stick your arm out the window and hand them $5 because, you know, you're just exasperating the problem.
Hey, you know what, on the education part, let's go back for a second to the DUIs and the AVOID program. Bill, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the why it's called AVOID and the press releases and the, you know, maybe more awareness, because there's another side to success for that program is that there's the education and the awareness to hopefully keep people out of that, you know, that bad place of maybe getting caught.
Absolutely, yeah. And the AVOID is...
How about not imbibing and driving rather than not getting caught? Yeah. Now you're reverting back to the high school thing here, aren't you, Regan? Yeah. There's a cop. Let's avoid him rather than, yeah.
Yeah, let's just don't drive drunk to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AVOID actually stands for Avoid the Seven, which is the seven law enforcement agencies in Humboldt County which are participating in the program. And you want to avoid the seven. That's kind of the gist of the message. But really, it is an educational program. We're trying to get the word out that, you know, we're out there enforcing it. We're out there doing saturation patrols, checkpoints, that sort of thing. And we take this very seriously. And it's no joke to get a DUI nowadays. Estimates, insurance, I've heard from your first offense go up $7,000.
Really?
A year for if you have a DUI.
If you don't wash it off, it's $7,000.
Right. And, you know, not to mention your license gets suspended. You have to pay a fine in court and all the other ramifications that come along with it. So it's just it's no joke to get a DUI. It's a serious thing. And, you know, I guess a true inspiration for us would be to get zero DUIs. And then the people are learning. And, you know, we just had a fatal crash a couple of days ago. I don't know if alcohol was involved in that. But, you know, that just hits home the point that, you know, bad things happen when you drive drunk.
Or text.
Yeah, that's another thing. As a matter of fact, our latest statistics show like 80% of drivers that get in crashes on our streets are texting, are distracted when they're driving.
Gee, man. So. Well, you know, my response, we got the press release about the wipeout north of Arcata.
Yeah.
Immediately my head went to drunk. Or texting.
Right.
Because it just kind of started drifting and then went over the edge, and yeah, unfortunately exactly. The tree was there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The Flower Pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The Art Pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The Commercial Exhibits Building will feature fascinating products. And of course, there's the Ferris Wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Bill Doberstein, and Regan Candelaria. I keep thinking, Pabstein. And then I screw it up.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's, well, consistent, though.
Right.
At least it's consistent. Yeah. It was funny during the break, Regan, you were asking, you know, why does it seem like there's so much criminal activity going on versus, what I had either starting here or growing up in the neighborhood. How do you deal with the frustration? As a cop, as city administration, when you're seeing your town, and I guess you could say being eaten away by the drug culture or those who are part of the drug culture? Because I think that's kind of the root stem here. We don't have too many bank frauds going on
sure.
today versus what we were doing, you know, 20 years ago or any of that kind of stuff. How do you feel comfortable with what you're doing, knowing that it really can't stop what's going on until the community steps up?
Well, I think, you know, in our department, we you know, go out of our way to may have a sense of a safe city. And I think Fortuna is a very safe city. In Humboldt County, it's probably one of the safest cities. You know, we do have that element, and we were talking during the break. I mentioned that, you know, 19 years ago when I started, the call volume in Fortuna was roughly about 10,000 calls for service a year. And that's everything from, you know, a burglary to a barking dog. And, you know, last year was almost 19,000 calls for service in Fortuna. So it's gone up quite a bit. And, you know, again, that's every type of call. But I think people are more aware now. People are they have a different mindset. I know when I was a kid, I used to get on my bike, and, you know, I grew up in Eureka. I used to ride around town on my bicycle.
That'd be the metropolitan community in the right. county, Reagan. Just, yeah, I realize you're still not quite tuned in on some of these things. Continue,
yeah.
Bill. Yes.
Yeah, you know, nowadays I think parents are a little bit more leery to, you know, for example, allow their kids to go riding on their bikes without any kind of supervision, or, you know, be home at 8 o'clock or something like that. I think they're a little bit more leery because of the things that are going on. And I think Humboldt County has always kind of been perceived as the marijuana capital of the world. And unfortunately, you know, that perception draws people in from other areas to Humboldt County looking for work. And matter of fact,
In the industry,
in the marijuana industry. We just contacted, you know, a guy at Burger King that was basically showering in a bathroom. They called us. We got him out of there. But he was from Pennsylvania, and he had come to Humboldt County looking for a trimming job. And that's the kind of transients and that we're seeing roll into town. You know, I don't think Humboldt County, I think it has a lot to offer more than the marijuana industry, but there is a perception out there, especially in other parts of the country, quite frankly, that Humboldt County is a marijuana destination.
Oh, yeah, have a couple more of those movies. And
right.
Yeah, it's there. Reagan, when you go around in the county, or you guys are out bopping around on the weekends.
I tend to stay out of the metropolitan areas like
yeah, I can so. Appreciate that. Yeah, got a target on your back. But do you see what we're sensing?
You know, I guess I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I take solace in the fact that we have a real active community in Fortuna. And as Bill mentioned, you know, the people that he goes and his staff talk to find out, well, what's going on and why are you here? And or if we get a call, we respond to it right away. So I think that's great. That makes me feel good about it. And we do have an active community. Our Chamber of Commerce stepped up and put together an educational campaign for the community to help, you know, be more proactive with addressing some of the homeless or transient issues that we might have, or people that are traveling through town looking for work in that industry that you guys were just talking about. And I'm not saying that it's in check, but I know that it's better than it was even just a year ago when I showed up into this county. And that was one of the main things I was hearing about from the business groups, from the, you know, service organizations and whatever was, hey, we don't like this. It's making us uncomfortable. And what can we do about it? And it's gotten worse over the last few years, as Bill mentioned. But I think we put a pretty decent dent in that in Fortuna. And I know that Bill and his department are primarily responsible for that. But, you know, so to me, I don't know. I didn't see the difference from 10 years ago to what was happening over the last couple of years.
But as a recent arriver into the area, you didn't see that as a major issue in the community, shopping the job.
I think in terms of the industry, the marijuana industry, I think I may have shared with you at a past talk shop that I was shocked by it. I truly, and I'll admit this, I know it's on the radio, but I didn't think it was as bad as the stereotypes and the things that I had heard. But when I now that I'm here in this community and I see and hear things on a regular basis.
You can't see his smile, but your chief is smiling.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing to me how much is in the news almost every day, or things that I'm personally witnessing in our community, you know, where there's a house that's a grow house that's being busted, or there's a grow house that had faulty electrical wiring and that we had to put out a fire at, or, you know, other things that I see going on regularly. It's way more than I thought could be real.
You tapped into something that just triggered for me when I talked to my buddies throughout the country. So our newscasts sound like big city newscasts. We may not have gang shootings, mm-hmm. but boy, do we have a whole lot of criminal activity in our stories that sound like big time city. And I guess that's the reference that I've got when I'm talking about and referencing this stuff, you know, what the faxes are coming across, what the emails are, what the newscasts sound like. We sound like we're a metropolitan area instead of this small little rural isolated place.
Right.
All right. Off the pedestal. Time for a break. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelario from the city of Fortuna. And he brought along Bill Doberstein from the police department. Yeah, if I go slow, I sound funny, but I pronounce things right. Regan, the concept of public safety is a tough one because I know everybody says, yes.
We want it.
Okay.
Yes.
We want it. We want more of it. mm-hmm. But don't forget all the other departments also.
Right.
Okay. So how can you put the priority that the community wants on Bill and his department, and I suppose the volunteer department also for the fire, and at the same time have fiduciary responsibility to all the other departments without having pickets outside and needing to call on the professional services of your police department to keep things going?
Yeah, that is a tough one. And as an administrator, the first thing that pops into my head is the budget, as you started asking those questions. And, you know, it's the same for almost all cities up and down the state. You know, we're looking at about 52-53% of our budget goes to that department for public safety, because that is a priority and a need of the community. And something that's, you know, easily missed if it's not there. So responsibly as an administrator and as a city council, they know that this is something that we need to address. It gets harder and harder every year to make that financial priority, but it's something that's going to be missed. And, you know, that's part of what the answer is to your question is, you know, sometimes you don't see other programs or other services as clearly gone, like if you're filling less potholes or if you're, you know, not trimming trees as often as you were, you know, they're still going to grow, but they might get trimmed the next year. But, you know, you don't want, or you, the community is going to see if there's a lack of policing or a lack of response. So,
Bill, when you look at not only the city of Fortuna, but the sphere of influence, the area of influence, mm-hmm. however you want to, you know, the neighborhoods.
Sure.
Just adjacent to town. What do you see? Do you see an area that's easy to police or to work with? Do you see communities that are, or neighborhoods that are involved with and help you out? Are you seeing those that say, you're the paid professional, handle it, you know, let me know when it's done so I can come outside and play? What kind of interaction do you have with the communities?
I see a mix of all of that, but especially in Fortuna, I think we have a great community that's supportive of the police department. And, you know, We have we do have neighborhood watch groups in Fortuna, just like we were talking about here in Eureka. And we have, I think we have a great working relationship with the community. They're not afraid to come to us with things. We answer their questions. If there's an area in town that has a higher volume of crime or incidents occurring, we typically step up enforcement in that area, and we try to get buy-in from the neighbors and let them know why we're there. You know, in our department, I strive, you know, professionalism, and we're a friendly department. I want to work with people. I want to work with people in the community. I want to get involved in, you know, service groups, Rotary, Kiwanis, Chamber, and informing those individuals of what we're doing, what's going on in the city, what trends are going on in the city, and working with, you know, the business leaders, community groups. And I think it's been working very well. You know, I think we have a good working relationship with the community. There are some of those that you mentioned, you know, you're the paid professionals, you handle it type of people. And that's fine. You're going to find that in any community. But by and large, I think we have a community that works well with the police department, that trusts the police department, that wants to see their community a safe community. And they buy into, you know, our concepts of community-oriented policing, and we're seeing a good response to that.
How do you build trust? By doing the job consistently?
I think you build trust by doing the job consistently and effectively, being honest with the public. You know, I think having a high visible presence in the community, making sure officers are out there on patrol, so the public, you know, sees a car drive down their neighborhood, and not just the main streets, not just Fortuna Boulevard or Main Street, you know, but all over, you know, hit all the, you know, the residential areas as well, and have a high visible presence. And, you know, every problem that, you know, I always tell our officers, this person's contact with you might be the only contact they ever have with law enforcement. So you're shaping their perception of all law enforcement based on this one contact with them. So make sure it's a professional, positive contact every single time you contact somebody, because the word's going to spread throughout the community that the Fortuna Police Department's doing a good job. And, you know, that's the kind of feedback we need. We need the support of the community. And I think we do that very well. I think we're very visible in the community, and going out there and being a visible presence in the community, and really knowing the hot spots in our community. Our community is small. We have about 12,000 people in Fortuna. So, you know, we know where the hot spots are. We know, you know, what apartment complexes we go to, you know, 100 times more than the other places.
Probably
so.
Zero down to knowing the addresses.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah.
We do. And we tend to focus on those areas, obviously, because there's more crime in those areas. But, you know.
Is the high school an issue?
Yeah. The high school, it can be an issue sometimes. We deal with, a little bit of, we have a very active, let me just put it this way, we have a very active administrative staff at the high school that call us quite often for different things. And so we're out there a lot at the high school. Maybe a student brings marijuana onto campus or prescription pills or something like that. Seems to be the most of it.
Yeah, isn't it weird? Stealing prescription pills? I know, I guess that's supposed to be the new thing that kids do. I guess they're walking past the liquor cabinet to get to the medicine cabinet.
Right. Yeah. We've seen in the last 10 years, I have seen such an increase in especially juveniles in possession of prescription medication. It's unbelievable compared to what I saw 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was, you know, you'd catch a kid with a joint in his pocket. Now you're catching them with, you know, Vicodin, Norcos, Oxycontin, things like that in their pocket. It's really...
HGH?
Yeah. You really see that shift in the last few years.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 3:43. We'll be back with more from Bill Doberstein and Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Final couple minutes this afternoon with Regan Candelaria and Bill Doberstein. Guys, when you're looking at the future, and let's say it's just a five-year horizon, how are you going to know that the city's on track, that you spent the proper investment or made the proper investment in law enforcement, and that law enforcement has taken those opportunities and really applied them well? You got a rising tide that's going on, so you can't use numbers, and you can't use percentages, and you can't. How are you going to know that this is not only money well spent, but also well utilized?
I'll start with that, Bill. Not exactly the I was looking for a segue, but we have a big project that we're working on. We want to create a new police facility for the community. And, you know, it's a big ticket item, and there was some commitment made to it by the community a few years back, and we need a little bit bigger commitment because a new police facility requires a lot in terms of planning and design, and construction costs are going to be a little higher than we had expected. But I think that's important, and it kind of answers your question, is that we're thinking about that and we're working towards it as a priority for the community because, and Bill will probably chime in on this, that, you know, in 5 years, we don't think that there's going to be no crime in our community. Things are going to probably continue to keep their current pattern, and we need to be prepared for that, and we need to have increased capacity and increased efficiencies. And right now we're in an old commercial building as a police department that's really not, it's just not a police station. It's not a police facility, and we need to get something that's more professional for, you know, the officers that we have and have proper equipment and proper ingress and egress for the work that they need to do. And so we're working towards that. So in terms of 5 years out, if we have that facility online or something close to it ready to go, then I think we'll have said, yes, we have success.
That's the old Fortuna Motors?
That's the site that the city currently owns. But we're looking at all of our options right now, and I've been talking to Regan about different options, and I'm glad he said that because that's, quite frankly, one of my highest priorities is the police department getting into a new facility. We're in an antiquated 2,300 square foot facility now that's, we've been in forever, and it needs to be upgraded, and I think. The community.
Okay, poof, there's pixie dust. Okay, you got it. You're in there. How much better are you? How much easier is it? How many more bad guys are caught?
Right.
How does that play out?
I understand what you're saying. I think it'll be more efficient for our officers and our staff, number one, that work there, as far as doing their jobs more efficiently. But you're right. I mean, as far as crime trends and things like that, really what we need to do is just stay focused on the crime trends, look where our hot spots are in town, focus in on those problems, focus in on community concerns, and address those issues that are Fortuna issues, that are problems in Fortuna, and stay focused on that. That's how we gain the public's trust and create a better living environment for everybody in town.
Thanks for coming by, guys. Ran out of time.
I've been coming here every month. No pixie dust. I bring Bill one time, and boom.
Yeah, pixie dust. We'll work on it next time. We'll see if it's in the budget, babe. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.